Less than 10 weeks out from the fall election, the dog days of August have produced a heated political atmosphere. The national political conventions over the past 2 weeks pointed out the polarities we experience. The police shooting of a black man in Kenosha and the subsequent shooting of protesters later in the week have reignited arguments about police reform and gun control. And of course, in the midst of it all is COVID-19. Today, we explore those and other topics with the two candidates for the 67th District Assembly seat here on the West Side. Good morning and welcome. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Joining us today are Rob Summerfield of Bloomer. He is seeking his third term as state representative. He's involved in the operation of his family business, the Two Acre Supper Club, and is co-owner of Chippewa Valley Land Title. Rob Summerfield, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on today, Dean.
Chris Kapsner of Boyceville is an emergency room physician associated with Western Wisconsin Health in Baldwin and Abbott Northwestern Hospital in Minneapolis, and he owns a farm in the town of Sheridan in Dunn County. Chris Kapsner, welcome to the West Side.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Dean.
The 67th District contains parts of Chippewa and Dunn counties. The cities of Chippewa Falls, Bloomer, and Cornell are all included in the district, as well as the villages of Cadott, Colfax, Elk Mound, New Auburn, and Wheeler. As usual, we have our phone lines open to callers who would like to question the candidates. The number to call is 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Or you can email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. So let's begin. Chris Kapsner, this is your second run for state legislature. 2 years ago, you ran against Republican Kathy Bernier and lost for the 23rd Senate District seat, which includes the 67th Assembly District. You got 40% of the votes in that election. So what's bringing you back to politics 2 years later?
Yeah, it's a big question, Dean, and a tough one. I'm a father of four children, and my wife and I have raised our family out here. And I've been out here since the 70s. I went to Sherman Creek grade school, and then my dad took a job in St. Paul, but we always loved this area. And so I remember when this area had a strong economy, where Boyceville had a grocery store, a functioning co-op, where every other mile there was a small family dairy farm. So those days are long gone, but we do have an opportunity to reinvigorate our rural economy. And as I said, I have four children, and I want them to live out here, raise their family out here. It's a beautiful part of the world. And in order for them to be successful and not move to Minnesota, they need health care. They need a great education, a world-class education. They need common sense things like broadband and infrastructure, like good roads, clean air and clean water. And by the way, all those things I just mentioned would have helped us get through this pandemic quicker, safer, and with less economic pain and suffering. The other factor is I'm an ER doctor, and it's a great job. I love my job. And every day I get to work with an amazing team. I lead resuscitations. I get to help patients at their most vulnerable points in their life. But I also see the struggles they have with homelessness, addiction, mental health, struggles with fragmented care, expensive medications. So when I see a patient that can't afford their insulin and now they're in DKA and need to go to the ICU at great cost, I know that this is all preventable. We can do better. We deserve better. And that is a major motivating factor for me. So I am running for the 67th Assembly. And my whole goal is to bring hope and opportunity and prosperity back to the district. We can reinvigorate our rural economy and strengthen not only everyone in the district, but Wisconsin.
Rob Summerfield, you are asking voters to elect you to a third term representing the 67th Assembly District. What do you have to offer residents of the district?
I think over the past 4 years, and even previously, I think I'll start back then, being born, raised in Bloomer and living here pretty much my whole life. I went to UW Stout, which is in Menominee, right on the outskirts of the district, but I was home most weekends and some nights during the week to help out at the family businesses. My connections to community run very, very deep. I feel that I am a very a good, responsive legislator. I think you can talk to anybody who has ever called my office or emailed my office and would like to speak to me. I give them a call right away. Over the past years, I've given out my cell phone to numerous hundreds of constituents. I say, hey, just give me a call. And some of them were just surprised. Oh, I can't believe you gave out your cell phone. I'm like, hey, that's what I do. Is I'm not afraid to talk to anybody. But with that, I've seen what we've accomplished the past 4 years. We made record investments in broadband expansion. We put over $1 billion in K-12 education since I've been in office. With health care, my last two sessions I voted, and this last session was the first bill we took up, was to cover people with pre-existing conditions. We know that most of this area, up until the coronavirus hit, I was talking to businesses, you know, we had a workforce shortage. We were working with technical colleges and the universities in the area to make sure that we have the right people trained for the upcoming jobs. So, you know, pre-COVID, I think we are on a great direction and we have a lot of great things going in. Now we have COVID and now we're learning to adjust. And I think over the last 5 months of since COVID, since the state shut down in March, I've been working so hard for my district. I've been talking to people throughout. I've been talking to majority of my school districts starting in June, saying, hey, how are we going to be prepared for the fall? You know, are we going to do all virtual, hybrid model, in person? So I really pride myself, and I think the people in 67th Assembly District have realized that, hey, Rob, even though I may not agree with Rob all the time, he is listening, and he is definitely here to work for us and fight for us down in Madison.
We're hearing from the candidates in the 67th Assembly District race coming up in November. Representative Rob Summerfield, excuse me, and Chris Kapsner. We'll get to a lot of issues today, but the dominant issue in this week's headlines is the shooting of Jacob Blake by police in Kenosha and the protests that have followed. Governor Evers signed an executive order on Monday of this week calling for the legislature to come together in a special session next week to take up the bills on police accountability, including a creation of a statewide use of force policy, a ban on no-knock search warrants and chokeholds, and additional de-escalation training requirements for police. Rob Summerfield, will you and your fellow Republicans show up for a special session next week?
At this time, I've been in constant contact with the leadership and the other members of my caucus. The speaker, Speaker Robin Voss, I think on Tuesday, submitted a request for members to join in Speaker's Task Force bipartisan to deal with this. What we are dealing with in Kenosha, it's bigger than we're going to pass bills within a week. We need to take a hard look on all sides. We need to get law enforcement, community groups, social groups, faith-based groups into this conversation. When the governor and lieutenant governor proposed these bills back in June already, we already said, hey, this is not going to happen overnight. This needs to take long, in-depth, and get numerous, numerous opinions. I've talked to law enforcement officers and police chiefs and sheriffs about the proposals. There is legitimate concern with them on how it may hamstring and also could potentially lead to dangerous positions put their officers in, such as the no-knock search warrants. I didn't know this, but and talking to law enforcement, is a no-knock search warrant is different than a regular search warrant. You have to get a specific no-knock from a judge. With that, the reason for the no-knock is, I mean, we know in our area we have a huge meth epidemic. I've got friends who are fortunately recovering from it, but we know there's a lot of drug dealers out there, you know, from the cities, you know, from Mexico that are, you know, selling drugs to our people. If you find a drug house and there is a no-knock or that you have a warrant for them and you cannot knock or that you have to knock to them, that gives them 5-10 seconds to grab their weapons because we know drug dealers have weapons. So, you know, these are things that could definitely put officers that come in a house, put them in deadly situations. So these are things that we need to look at. Is there some things with police, education, de-escalating tactics? I know, you know, the law enforcement I talked to said, we've been doing a lot of these things. Choke codes, I haven't talked to any officer in my area that say, we don't even talk about choke codes anymore. We don't use that part of our repertoire. You know, can go back to what, you know, back in 2011 with Governor Walker and the legislature passed outside investigation. So, you know, if you have a shooting and you don't have your fellow department investigated, I think those are good steps. So these are things that we need to look forward to. We also need to get people protected in these communities. I've talked to colleagues down in Kenosha, and it is not good. It is devastation. You know, the National Guard was called late. I was really disappointed in the administration of Governor Evers that waited a day or two. At first, turned down federal help. And then once you saw that we got federal help on Wednesday, you saw Wednesday night being peaceful. Last night, so far, I've been seeing it's been pretty peaceful, but we're starting to hear rumblings that Friday, Saturday night could be back up. We need to allow people definitely to have peaceful protests. That's where our country was founded upon. But to wreck Kenosha, to wreck the Capitol, the city of Madison, State Street on Madison. I don't know if many of your listeners have been on State Street. It's a beautiful street. It goes from the Capitol down to the university. You know, it's basically boarded up. I've got friends down there that live above, you know, a couple of the buildings that were looted and rioted. And I was calling them when the first riot started in June. I said, you have to leave. I'm worried for your safety because you're in an upstairs apartment. And if something, God forbid, happens that a building starts on fire, we know how our older buildings are added on. And once they get caught on fire, it's so hard to stop and they spread, you know, greatly. You know, so these are things we have to make sure we protect. The businesses, I've seen reports on State Street, you know, going into COVID, since it's mostly retail and restaurants, has always been just devastating. Now they have to have added cost of dealing with riots. And there was a report by, the Madison Business Association and the Chamber saying 25 to 35% of the businesses will never come back. So these are the things that we have to realize. We have to allow for peaceful protests, but we also have to make sure we have our citizens protected from vandalism and potential attacks. You know, like State Senator Tim Carpenter, Democrat from Milwaukee, was attacked in the June riots down in Madison. So these are things that, you know, in a week, it's not going, we're not going to fix everything, but the more and more we get communities, we hear from different points of view besides just legislature and the governor. We get all these groups in there. I'm optimistic we're going to, you know, come up with some good recommendations. So that's where we're at right now. I think it's the appropriate way to go and look forward to working with my colleagues and other people throughout the state of Wisconsin to deal with this issue.
Representative Summerfield points out that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss announced the creation of a speaker's task force this week on racial disparities, educational opportunities, public safety, and police policies. And Speaker Voss said the governor is rushing to action by trying to push liberal policies that will only deepen divisions in this special session that he's called for. Chris Kapsner, I'm wondering, does Voss have a point? Does it take, should it be a more deliberate process? Chris Kapsner, are you with us? Oh, it sounds like we lost Chris Kapsner. Catherine, it may be him calling in on two. Let's take a break. We'll return with that in mind. We have had some phone problems this week. I apologize for that, and hopefully we'll get Dr. Kapsner back on the line. We are talking to Chris Kapsner. He is the Democrat from Boyceville, lives in the town of Sheridan, actually, in the 67th Assembly District, and Rob Summerfield, the incumbent. He's from Bloomer. The 67th District contains parts of Chippewa and Dunn counties, and the cities of Chippewa Falls, Bloomer, and Cornell are included in the district, as well as the villages of Cadott, Colfax, Elk Mound, New Auburn, Wheeler, and an emailer reminds me, Ridgeland. And I am sorry that I forgot Ridgeland. I should never forget Ridgeland. Haunt of my youth. So Ridgeland's also part of the district. Your questions for these candidates are welcome. Email them at ideas@wpr.org or call 800-228-5000. 5615. That's ideas@WPR.org or call 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back on the West Side. Our focus today, the 67th Assembly District race. Representative Rob Summerfield going for term number three. And Chris Kapsner is running against him. He's the Democrat from Boyceville. I believe we've got Dr. Kapsner back on the line. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Super. I'm glad you were able to get back connected. We were talking about police accountability measures going in. The governor has called for a special session next week. Doesn't appear that the legislative leadership is going to respond to that by calling a session, but instead Assembly Speaker Voss has announced the creation of a Speaker's Task Force on racial disparities, educational opportunities, public safety, and police policies, saying the governor is rushing to action by pushing liberal policies that will only deepen divisions by calling for this special session next week. Does he have a point, Chris Kapsner?
Well, I can say this. These are big, challenging issues, and in the emergency department, feel like almost every day we are struggling with a patient who's agitated and violent. So it's stressful. Staff gets hurt. And so I'm very empathetic to the police. They need the tools to help de-escalate. Here in Boyceville and Dunn County and Chippewa County, the police are our neighbors. The sheriffs are our neighbors. And they understand the community and serve us well. One of my neighbors had to go to a domestic violent scene and was confronted by a gentleman with a gun, and he was able to talk him down. So we need to give the police the tools to de-escalate and protect themselves and protect our communities. And we also have to come together, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and solve these solutions together. We all expect police to be held accountable. In my career in my business, if a doctor isn't doing well or a provider or a nurse, they get put on a performance improvement plan, and if they continue to fail, they are let go. So let's support the police. Let's come up with common sense solutions, and that's what I'll do in the Assembly. I'm going to work with Republicans. I'm going to work with the governor. These are real issues that impact all of us.
Another aspect of the Kenosha story was yesterday's charging of a 17-year-old boy who was accused of killing two protesters and wounding a third with an AR-15 rifle. The teen was supposedly thinking of himself as a member of a militia to protect businesses from the protesters. Chris Kapsner, is it time to adopt some new gun control laws in Wisconsin?
Yeah, gun control is a big issue. It's an emotional issue. It's a complicated issue. And, you know, here in western Wisconsin, rural Wisconsin, we're all very comfortable with guns. One of my first memories is me shooting a .22 rifle with my dad. And so when you look at guns here, we see them as tools, and we know how to use them. We know how to use them safely. And when I look at violence, that's really what I want the state legislator to do, is to look at the root cause of violence. And gun violence is part of it. So it's domestic violence, so it's suicide. So we have to do our best to keep guns away from people who shouldn't have them. And everyone in Wisconsin agrees with that. We have to be able to already support and enforce our gun control laws and make sure that guns stay away from people who shouldn't have them.
Well, speaking of special sessions, Governor Evers did call a special session in November to consider gun control measures, and the Republican leadership gaveled the session closed in less than a minute, taking no action. Rob Summerfield, what actions would you support to reduce gun violence in Wisconsin?
I mean, I can tell you what we've already done. We voted to make straw purchases a felony. You know, a straw purchase is someone who legally can buy a gun that will sell it or give it away to someone who cannot legally have a gun. The problem is not law-abiding citizens that have guns. It's the criminals, drug dealers that have guns. No matter whatever bill we pass,
bad people are always going to get their guns. There's going to be ways on the black market, et cetera. What we need to do is to focus on the people with mental health issues. You know, one of the biggest things that we did that I talked to law enforcement was getting more mental health beds in our area. And actually, this last budget, we got a proposal, or actually we put it in the budget, working on with HSHS, St. Joe's, Sacred Heart in Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire to get close to 40 new beds, because the situation with law enforcement and mental health, which includes, you know, people threatening suicide, et cetera, is they come in for a Chapter 51 hold, and then after there's a determination of them being committed, they either have to go to Winnebago, which is way over Appleton area, 3 hours from Chippewa Falls, and or go down to Mendota, which is about the same distance. This part of having a northwest and west central Wisconsin place for mental health beds would save numerous times for law enforcement to take the patients. Instead of spending, you know, from Chippewa Falls, it's 6 hours. From Superior, it'd be 10 hours in the car there and back. This was a great proposal that would have helped even law enforcement, but even more importantly, the families and the person that is being committed. Because, you know, Winnebago, if you have to drive 3 hours each way, it's going to be hard, especially if your family has financial difficulties, has, you know, other issues that makes it more of a challenge to take off a day of work to drive over Winnebago. Once in Chippewa Falls or Eau Claire, hey, it's a half an hour, hour and a half. A lot of things, those things are doable. So we were had this in the budget. It passed both houses purely with Republican support in the Assembly and the Senate, and then Governor Evers, in a slap to the face to West Central or Western Wisconsin, vetoed this out of the budget. We were working on another bill, or the same bill again. We got it through the Assembly right before COVID, but then COVID hit, and it's now kind of tied up. So this is one of my biggest priorities. I know I've talked to, worked with other representatives, and my Senator, Kathy Bernier. This is a priority for our area because we hear people from Superior, La Crosse, all over saying this will be, it's not going to, you know, stop the mental health or cure it all, but this is a great tool because the more and more you can have family interaction close, put less pressure on law enforcement, this is going to help people with their mental health.
I want to move on to some other issues, but Kevin wants to address this one. Kevin's in Stanley. Kevin, thanks, and welcome to the West Side. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yep, you're on the air.
Yeah, my concern is, and I agree with our representative from 67th, that I think this emergency session is, you know, they've got to find out what the circumstances were. Nobody addresses the fact that this gentleman in Kenosha ran from the police and had a deadly weapon in his vehicle. I mean, you got to be aware of both sides. I mean, our police departments have a tremendous responsible job to do. And they're dealing with all kinds of things now that are happening. But I guess I'd like to see the awareness in the public as to how they are reacting to all of these things.
Kevin, thanks for your call. Rob Summerfield, any further comment? We've talked about this issue a fair amount already.
No, I mean, I think I completely agree. You know, see, you know, when the full investigation comes out, I know the Attorney General Wednesday night stated, you know, that he did have a gun in his possession, you know, trying to figure out was it on him in the car, et cetera. But, you know, these are the things of not doing a rush to judgment on this. So once we see the whole case lay out, we'll see, you know, is there some maybe missteps or other things that officers maybe say, hey, you shouldn't have done it this way, but do it this way. I mean, these are why, you know, when the governor calls a special session with, I don't know, half a dozen bills, you know, be decided on in a week, you know, the legislative process is supposed to be take the time in, get all sides in, because if we want to make really good policy, that's what we're going to need to do.
Chris Kapsner, any final words on this area of police accountability?
Yeah, as I said, you know, we need to support the police, but we also need to hold them accountable. And no one should be allowed to create problems, go into a situation and make it worse. So everyone deserves due process, and let's move forward together. Let me just comment on Rob's support of mental health. You know, there's a lot of talk, but little action. Rob says he's done a lot, but he has failed on so many levels with mental health and health care. He failed, him and the Republicans, failed to support Medicaid expansion and reimbursement rates, failed to support Medicaid and investment in drug and alcohol abuse prevention and treatment programs, all this at great cost, over $1 billion of cost to taxpayers.
Well, let's turn to that topic next. And Sherilyn has joined us from Chippewa County. Sherilyn would like to talk about Medicaid expansion, I believe. Sherilyn, welcome to the West Side.
Thank you. Yes, my comment and question is redirected to Representative Sommerfeld. You've been in office since 2016. And we as Wisconsin taxpayers, have now lost over $1 billion of our taxpayer money because you and the majority party refuse to accept federal funding. At least 41 nursing homes have closed since you have been elected. You were chairperson of the Medicaid Reform Committee this session. You could be a hero for us, but instead, no public hearing. It died on the vine. You talk about devastating. It's devastating for the patient in these nursing homes. It's devastating for family. You're in an isolation as a family member. You're probably not comfortable in driving to big cities either because you're older, you're whatever. That's a challenge for you. It's an isolation for those people. And in a business sense, it affects negatively the community and the economy of that community. There's no jobs. It doesn't bring the closeness, cohesive together. I would like to know why you did not hold a public hearing regarding accepting the money for the Medicaid expansion.
Thank you, Sherilyn. Representative Sommerfeld, you do chair the Assembly Committee on Medicaid Reform and Oversight. What reforms do you envision for health care that will increase access? And can you address Sherilyn's question about public hearings for that expansion?
Yeah, and that expansion, at the end of the day, I talked to my fellow committee members' side, and there was not enough support for that. What we have looked into is instead of taking the Medicaid money and putting the people on our fiscal rolls, because in the short term it may be okay, but in the long term there could be very negative consequences. In New York and Alaska, the states of Alaska, they have already had to limit their Medicaid expansion. And where you were one of the only states already that cover up to 100% of the poverty level with Medicaid. So from 100 to 138, people have the opportunity to go on the Affordable Care Act with the federal subsidies to not tap into our state resources but to use the federal ones. Also, with Medicaid, I'm just going to go through what – even with the governor's budget of expansion, taking all the money, this is what we improved, what we voted on in the budget. We increased rural critical care hospitals by 8.6 million more. Family care, direct care funding, 37 million more than the governor. Nursing homes, 47.6 million more than what the governor proposed. The governor in nursing homes, which the caller did you mentioned, governor only wanted to increase by 26.5 million. We increased it by almost 50 million more. And that was, I talked to my nursing homes in the area, and I won't mention what the nursing home is, but they said they have never got this big of increasement in nursing home reimbursement rates, and this is going to help save them for the next year or two. Because with our elderly population, that before 30 years ago, you would be on, go to nursing home for 2, 3, 4 years, so you'd have quite a bit of private pay into it. However, now with assisted living in home, which is great because the more and more you can keep people home around the family, that in the long term does save costs. So
So by the time they get to nursing homes, most people have exhausted their resources, so they're just on the government Medicaid. So, you know, that's a double whammy for them. So that was what we did so far in nursing home. Personal care workers who care for, you know, elderly are most vulnerable. We increased it by 74.3 million more than what the governor proposed. All the governor proposed in his budget was $6.7 million. We, in our final budget, which we sent to him, we increased it by $90 million total. Almost $75 million more than what the governor has. So with that, what we're doing, telehealth. We've expanded telehealth because in state statute, telehealth was not, if you went to telehealth, let's say, in Cornell and you had a telehealth appointment in Chippewa, you could not get reimbursed by Medicaid due to statute. We eliminate. That was a bipartisan bill, actually, ran through with my committee, Representative Amy Laudenbach, Republican, and Democrat Deb Coste, worked with myself, worked really closely with the Hospitals Association to get this taken care of. We are now looking in the reform part is what other things that are hindrance to being reimbursement, because I think we see what the future of healthcare is going to be. It's going to be, you know, what can we do telehealth way? I mean, I've had meetings with all the area hospitals, HSHS, Marshfield, and Mayo Clinic, and there's a lot of good ideas out there, but there's a lot of time that there is bureaucracy that is a burden to that. So these are the things that we are looking for to, you know, help with the people in our area, and especially with the COVID and COVID. These are different times that we have to think right out of the box. And with the technology now of, you know, having people just, you know, call in or take a screenshot or not take a screenshot, take a shot from your phone and, hey, send in to the doctor. So these are things we've made great strides in Wisconsin, but we also know that with the challenges of COVID, there are always things that I'm open to and are willing to work on.
Chris Kapsner, your work as an emergency room doctor gives you some insights into the medical and insurance world most of us don't have. How do you rate Wisconsin's current healthcare and insurance climate, and what would you like to change as a policymaker?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to comment on Rob's response to healthcare. We're going to see from Rob most of the morning, it's a lot of talk, little action. So everything Rob mentioned, all these efforts he did were like sprinkling crumbs over a starving animal. Okay, the bottom line, the facts are, Rob and his Republican colleagues have failed to support Medicaid, Medicare, and this has hurt all of us. When Rob talks about 100% of the poverty rate, that's we were going to expand it. We were going to give health care to people who desperately need it, and people are getting hurt and dying, and they can't afford their medications. So I will do my best today to hold Rob and his colleagues accountable, because we need, especially in rural Wisconsin, need health care to address the deep, deep issues here with addiction, with mental health, and we got to give people support. And the bottom line is everyone needs tools to have their best life, to get to work, earn a good living, support their family. So when it comes to overall health care, it's complicated. Yes, the president got it right, but we need to come together and address this, because everyone in Wisconsin needs great health care, not mediocre health care. And that's what I plan to do when I get into the assembly, work to solve this big issue.
That's Chris Kapsner. He is the Democrat running for 67th Assembly District. His opponent is the incumbent, Rob Summerfield. Kapsner lives in the town of Sheridan in Dunn County, a post office address of Boyceville. And Rob Summerfield lives in Bloomer. Still time to get in with your questions for our candidates. We heard a little sprinkling of a comment about COVID-19. We've gone 43 minutes into this program, and we haven't talked about it yet. We'll solve that coming out of the break. Kirk from Chippewa Falls wants to bring that up, and we'll We'll bring him in right after the break. 800-228-5615. There is one line open now, 800-228-5615. You can email as well at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network. The politics we're talking about today is the campaign for the assembly seat in the 67th Assembly District, which includes northeastern Dunn County and most of Chippewa County. Our candidates are Democrat Chris Kapsner of Boyceville and Republican incumbent Rob Summerfield of Bloomer. Let's bring in Kurt now. Kurt is joining us from Chippewa Falls. Kurt, thanks for calling the West Side.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. This is a question for Representative Summerfield. I'm looking for a simple yes or no response in order to provide time for other callers. Governor Evers has tried on numerous occasions to deal with issues that are really critical here in Wisconsin, COVID, the pandemic thing, climate change, and trying to improve or relieve the conditions, the social and racial justice conditions that put our police and citizens in danger. And yet Senator Fitzgerald and Representative Voss, they are determined to obstruct and impede Governor Evers' initiatives at every turn. A simple yes or no answer, Mr. Sommerfeld. Do you agree with that determination on the part of your leaders, or do you disapprove of it? Yes or no?
Rob Summerfield, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I disagree with that. I mean, I can just go, for instance, what we've done, the CARES Act funding. We had to come in April, voted to give the governor complete control over $2 billion in CARES Act funding for the state. We did that bipartisan, in both houses. You know, that's, working together, that's one thing. These special sessions that the governor keeps on calling, that's not, where the government should. If the governor is concerned, he should be talking to Senator Fitzgerald and Speaker Voss to figure out, hey, what can I give and take? He's not a dictator. We need to figure out, hey, this is what you do. Hey, give Rob Summerfield a call, Governor. You know, let's talk about it. I know I'm open to anything, like we mentioned before, with the justice, reform package that I think everybody that I've talked to is in agreement, hey, this isn't going to be changed in a week. This needs to be, more in-depth conversation. This is why the bipartisan task force, I think, is appropriate action to go.
The 67th Assembly District is made up, as I mentioned, of parts of Chippewa and Dunn counties. Those two counties have had a combined total of about 460 positive cases of the coronavirus as of this week. The Wisconsin Department of Health indicates that case numbers continue to rise in both counties. Chris Kapsner, your campaign website states that Republican legislative leadership in Madison have not prepared us for this crisis. Explain that statement.
Yes. I touched on this at the beginning. All the common sense investments we need to do, like healthcare, like education, broadband, and Rob's going to say that he's invested in that, but again, this is a drop in the bucket. We need real investment, not tax cuts that go to the ultra wealthy and global corporations. So, also, Rob is correct when he said that the school boards across the district were asking for help in June to get through this safely, okay? There's been nothing done. It's kind of a shrug your shoulders and, hey, good luck. Hope you do it well. So ignoring a problem isn't a solution to a problem. Denial isn't a strategy to suppress a pandemic. So here's what we need to do. We're into this 8 months, and we still have supply chain issues with PPE. We still have supply chain issues with appropriate and frequent testing for COVID. So in order to get the schools open, ideally we would have small class sizes, more teachers, more staff, and more ability to test and isolate those that test positive. The good news is we're going to get through this. We will get through this. But the more we embrace common sense, wear a mask when you're in a public or when in Walmart or Fleet Farm, and do your best for social distancing. And that's one of the benefits of living in rural Wisconsin. We naturally social distance. But the Republican Party and the Democrats need to come together and start investing in our communities. And that's what I'm going to do when I'm in the Assembly. Embrace common sense, embrace best practice and evidence and fact.
I want to move to some other issues that both of you consider important. Chris Kastner, your campaign website mentions the unique challenges of living in rural Wisconsin. You've touched on a few of those. What are some more of those challenges, and more importantly, how would you address them as a legislator?
Yeah, it's an emergency physician. You know, there's a numerous time-sensitive emergencies, heart attacks, stroke, sepsis, trauma, and you know, we really need to support local EMS and local hospitals by, again, investing in Medicaid expansion and investing in telehealth. These are things that will help everyone. Broadband. Broadband is huge. And today we had issues with our broadband. Our neighbors have horrible broadband. And if we are going to create opportunity and attract businesses here, we really need our broadband to be fast and inexpensive, and it also will help our farmers and rural economy because our farmers are using broadband to farm more efficiently, save on herbicides, save water, save fuel, and increase production. So this is a win-win-win. The other thing is rural economies have been struggling for decades. Our farm economy, at the height of dairy farming here in Wisconsin, there were 150,000 dairy farms. Now there are 9,000, rapidly shrinking. We can do more to help our farmers. We can do more to support our small family businesses. And again, that's what I hope to do to when I'm in the Assembly, is address these real problems with real solutions.
Rob Summerfield, your campaign also notes unique challenges facing our small communities. Talk about what those are and how you'll prioritize rural Wisconsin in your next term.
Yeah, just quickly, I want to go back to the comment about shrugging my shoulders about schools reopening. I can honestly say, you can ask all my school administrators throughout my district. We started reaching out with June with all of them, and I think all but one, we did have phone conversations. We've had Zoom meetings with them to get schools back open in the fall. So to sit back and say, hey, we're just sitting back shrugging shoulders, I am engaged. I have worked my tail off with my local communities and my school districts to make sure, hey, are you going to do the hybrid? You know, are you going to do all 5-day in person? And you can let any of them know, and they'll, I know, will say, hey, yeah, Rob's been out there, engage with it. Because Rob, I realize that this is, you know, schools are so important to our area. This is why, since I've been in office, I voted for, and it's became law, over $1 billion in K-12 education. With hospitals, we are working. You know, I'm in monthly contacts with the hospitals in the area, you know, figure out how they can do it. This last week, we just got notice from the Hospitals Association that Wisconsin is ranked third for Wisconsin's critical access hospitals for rural areas. These are things that, doing the statewide, nationwide, Wisconsin, we are doing some good things. We can always do things better. I mean, that's, if anybody says, hey, things are perfect one day and aren't willing to change the next, that's foolish. With broadband, since I've been in office, I've voted for put over $110 million in broadband just this last year with letter support from myself and other state senators, Kathy Bernier, and other groups, Dunn County Economic, Colfax School District. Bloomer Telephone partnered to extend Bloomer Telephone about 100 or $1.5 million project from Colfax, extending lines into Colfax. So we're hitting from Bloomer. Colfax is within the next couple months going to start bearing cable to get more infrastructure from there. The challenging part is in the districts where it's rural. I mean, to put 1 mile of fiber
just 1 mile, is looking about 35,000. And I know there's spots in Otter Creek, Sheridan, Sherman, where I've been around throughout the last 4 years, knocking doors, talking to constituents, that there's a mile and a half in between a house. And those are the barriers that we need to, or that we're addressing with the broadband. Ideally, you know, the more money I've been fighting for every time I've been in office down in Madison to increase broadband funding. This last time, we did co-sponsor a bill for tax exemption for telephone companies that are the same tax exemption for cable companies. So, granted, it's not huge amounts of monies, but at the end of the day, I know I've talked to a couple local telecoms, like, if this tax exemption comes into, that's going to save us, you know, about $50,000 for our small little plant, and that's $50,000 we can reinvest. So, you know, there are many good things we've been doing in Wisconsin, and especially the 67th Assembly District, but knowing broadband is definitely one of the challenges there. There's also new technologies that could be out there on, you know, satellite, et cetera. But, you know, you get the Rolling Hills and the Township of Grant, et cetera, on the western part of the district, they can't go through hills. So these are things I've been passionate about. I've worked very well with the Wisconsin Telecom Association in my 4 years in office, and I just talked to them last month. And they know that I'm a fighter for them. I will be working my tail off to keep on getting broadband throughout the district.
We've got a lot of emails we're not going to get to. A couple of people, let's make this our last question. A couple of people in emails asked where you stand on fair maps. This next legislature will be taking the census data and drawing new legislative lines. Gerrymandering has been an accusation that Democrats have made against Republicans the last time this went around. Just if you can, in about 30 seconds, Rob Summerfield, tell us where you are on the redistricting. Do you like the idea of the governor's bipartisan commission coming up with new maps?
Yeah, at this point, you know, always open. I'm an open-minded legislature. But I think the way, you know, what we've done for since we've founded the state is the assembly, you know, passes a bill and the governor either signs it or vetoes it. So look forward to going in this next session, working with the governor to get a bill passed for redistricting.
Again, critics say the state's current redistricting method allows legislators to pick their voters. Governor Evers has tried to set up this task force. Chris Kapsner, what redistricting model do you support for Wisconsin and why?
Yeah, we need fair maps for a fair fight, because right now Rob and his Republican colleagues have all the advantage. They have astutely built a map that puts all the Republicans in their district. So I have an uphill battle. And what's sad about this is that it hurts our democracy and it waters down our voice. So when Rob says he's doing all these things, when actually there's been little implemented and not enough, Rob listens, but he doesn't do, because he doesn't have to. He knows he's going to win, and he has all the votes. So again, I want a fair fight. Let's make this fair. It's good for democracy. It's good for this district. And I promise, when I'm in the assembly, I want Republicans and Democrats to have an equal shot at this, because that's good for the district.
Chris Kapsner, Rob Summerfield, thank you for your views today, and thank you for participating. Catherine Thomas took your calls and produced today's show. Kate Spranger manages our web presence. Patrick Eikens is in charge of publicity. Next week, another legislative debate, this time in the 30th District in the Hudson River Falls corridor. Meanwhile, I'm Dean Kallenbeck. You're listening to The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.